I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience. I can't wait to see my girls become adults, and hopefully someday they'll be able to and want to have children and kind of experience it. I don't want it tomorrow. I want it to be as long as possible. I want to be, you know, in my mind, I'm going to live forever. So, you know, we've got an infinite amount of time, which is, you know, obviously not true.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome to The Dad Experience. Really special episode, number 100. All right. Got some special guests today. Our original OG co-host, Matt Dzinski. Matt, what's going on?
Hey, congratulations on 100 episodes.
Yeah, man. First of all, I wouldn't have been able to do this without you. You got me going, you got me moving, and your background in blogging and all that good stuff kind of helped, you know, transition me into this position. So I appreciate your help. We have our pseudo semi co-host, current co-host, Mike. Mike, how's it going? Welcome back to the Dad Experience after a majorly long hiatus there.
Right, long time, no talk.
I know. Well, you're doing some schooling and all that good stuff, but we can get into that soon. And we have Eric Salvera, our very, very special guest, co-host periodically throughout many, many different episodes. Eric, welcome.
What's going on? Thanks for having me on. Congratulations, number 100. Very exciting.
I can't believe it, man. Starting doing this in 100 episodes, it just seems like... I don't know. It's crazy to me.
It's incredible. It really is incredible.
Yeah, it really
is.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of content, man.
And I think we talked during the 50th episode. I remember interviewing you guys. I turned the tables at 50, and that was felt like a lot then. But 100, when you hit that like centennial mark, it just seems so much crazier and so much more. It's even more of a success now.
Right. Well, we haven't even hit 3 years. I think it'll be 3 years this February. About this February, it'll be about 3 years. So, it's pretty cool. I mean, been learning and listening to lots of different dads out there and moms, and just getting some great experience from that. So, hey Mike, mute your microphone. If you're gonna walk, mute your microphone. Anyway,
there we go.
Listeners, we tried to teach Mike how to do some microphone etiquette.
He doesn't know how to mute his phone.
No, he doesn't. Poor Mike. Anyways, well, we're gonna kick this thing off. You know, we'll start with Matt. Matt, you know, we haven't talked in a while, but why don't we let the listeners know, kind of review here, kind of like old school review. What's the makeup of your family and your household there?
I'm a stay-at-home dad. Have been for almost 10 years now. I've got two daughters, 9 years old and 7. My wife is Japanese, so that's we're a bicultural, bilingual family, except for me. We go to a Japanese immersion school, so their whole school experience is 50% Japanese, 50% English. And we're all just trying to navigate our way through that.
Nice. So,
that's pretty sweet.
It is pretty sweet. Mike, what about you? Make up your household, family, you know, current status, age, whatever.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I'm just living on the streets lately. Living on the streets day by day. Scrounging for change, man. Looking for jobs, you know.
So no family anymore?
No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm happily married. I got two boys, 6 and 8. I got my wife. She's a real pain in the ass. Love her, but Jesus. I don't know. What else?
So you're doing some schooling too, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going back to get my ASD cert.
All right.
Have my own classroom right now. So
that's pretty
cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Awesome. Adult transition. It's pretty
sweet.
You're
finally becoming an adult, is what you're telling us?
I'm really fighting it hard. I'm giving it my best. It's not working. Responsibility has a way of finding you when you grow older. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing.
All right, Eric, what about you, man? What's been going on? What's the makeup of the household, you know, family, all those good things?
For sure. It's me and my wife, Emily, and our two kids. I have a son who's 5 and a daughter who's 2.5. And, you know, the kids are crazy and they're awesome and completely insane. And it sounds like just like every other phase of that we've been through, you know, that you guys are in or are going into. And I can't wait to dig in more.
Absolutely. Yeah, I see. It seems like we're all a little bit different stages in our parenting and parenthood. So it's kind of cool. So
yeah, Matt and Mike are kind of the closest. It sounds like.
It sounds bit. Like. Sounds
yeah.
like
7, 9, yeah, 6, and 8. Yeah, that's mm-hmm.
pretty close. So,
pretty
but
close.
But we all seem to have that 2.5 year mark between the ages, which is interesting too.
It's clutch. Anything more than like over 3 years, and the kids start getting kind of wiggy towards one another. You know, they don't, they still get along, but there's more, it's like hazing in college.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You get hazed more.
Yeah, my brother was 4 years older, and when he started high school, I was still in elementary school. And that's like a huge difference.
That is a huge difference.
That's a huge jump.
Yeah, so it's like I lost my best friend, you know, all of a sudden. Man. He didn't want to play with me anymore, all that
stuff.
Of course,
yeah. That's sad.
But you and your brother, you know, I'm curious. Matt, you and your brother are still pretty close, though, no?
Oh, yeah, we're super close now.
That's
sure.
what I thought. So, I mean, but it's like, still possible.
That's an awkward age, you know, life transition to go through at those ages, though.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, that sucks. You're like, my best friend, he's super huge, he does shit for me, and then he's like, oh, dude, I can't hang out with you anymore.
Yeah, you don't want to play Legos? You want to play cars anymore? What's up?
Yeah. That would be a little strange. A little strange. So
well, hopefully you can video game now. There you go. Fucking game it up.
Yeah. So you know, I don't know how much you guys have listened to or the episodes that you've been a part of, but has there been anything that you remember most from doing the dad experience, or things from the dad experience, or that maybe you even incorporated into your own parenting? Matt, why don't we start with you? Matt, is there anything that you remember from it, or something that you got a great takeaway from it, or, you know, anything?
Well, for me, I think we were just, I did, what, 3, maybe 4 episodes with you, and we were just, like, clunking our way through it. So I remember just the getting used to hearing your voice or talking on a microphone is so strange, still is to me. But I think it was the meningitis episode that we did, because I had never really heard your story in such detail, even though I was in drumline with you at the time. Like, I never heard that. So that was eye-opening for me with the whole vaccines and just the whole story.
Yeah.
That's my biggest memory.
Yeah, that was a great episode. We still run that one. I try and run that one, you know, periodically throughout the year, especially during back to school times, because it is such an important thing. I mean, it has obviously a special place in my heart, but you know, it's so important that people know about the disease and know that there's a vaccine there, so because it's preventable. So yeah, that's always been one that's near and dear to me, and it's one that's kind of stayed there and lingered and I go back to every now and then when I need to reference it for folks or to help drive a point about vaccination. Eric, what about you? Is there anything that you really remember from the dad experience, or anything you took away from maybe an episode you possibly listened to? Or
sure, yeah. Well, I mean, one, I've loved our, you know, I love the conversations that we've had, and you know, I feel really lucky to have been able to be part of this, even in the capacity that I've been. It's been great. So I want to thank you for that. And then one of the episodes that I always that I think about a lot and resonate a lot with me this year, it was from earlier in the year, I think. Maybe I can't remember if it was the spring or the summer, but it's one of those that kind of sticks with you. I can't remember the guest's first name, but he did Dad Saturdays or Saturday
Daddy Saturdays.
Saturdays.
Yeah.
Daddy Saturdays.
Justin Bat.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yeah. He was like a TED talker or mm-hmm. something like that. It was about his book. And I always think about that one, because I think I felt like the conversation you guys had was really great and it flowed really well, and you guys seemed to connect on a lot of the same thoughts and issues and ideas, which is always effective. And he was a good guest, which obviously, as you know from talking to people, that helps the flow of the show go great too. When the guest is giving a lot, and he talked a lot about, I think, you know, preparing your kids for failure, but also about how he fails himself. And that's, for me, that's something I think about a lot is, you know, I work full time, but I've been, you know, pursuing my side projects in the arts for years. I've written two books. I can't get them published. I did a comedy for years. I stopped that to make a movie that I'm 6 years deep into, or almost 6 years deep into, that I'm still working on. And so just to hear another dad talk about, like, it's okay to fail, and you keep trying, and I fail every day, and I try and do the right thing, or I failed at this, and I've learned from that, and I'm trying to teach my kids the same thing. I think that, to me, is resonant a lot, because as I keep trying for my goals or what I believe in, I want to make my kids see that it's okay to, like, fail and keep going and let them know that they can do the same. And I think also just kind of failing is, like, some days you fail as a parent, right? Like, some days you say the wrong thing or you yell when you shouldn't have. And I think, you know, him saying, like, he says something, you know, which is how I always thought about myself too. You know, he's quick to get angry. His was like, he's quick to fail and make a mistake, but he's also quick to apologize. And I think that's been a big thing that I've thought about. All right, if I do screw up, if I do say something wrong to the kids, I do need to go back in there and, you know, apologize to them and make up. And, you know, the other day I dropped an F-bomb in front of my son, and he was crying about, he wanted to go, he just started screaming, I don't want to go to ski school. And I was in the other room doing some writing. I hear him screaming, I don't want to go to ski school. And I hear my wife saying, Emily's going, what are you talking about? We're not going to ski school. You know, we're not doing anything about skiing. I mean, I came out and said, Miles, I said, what are you crying about? I said, I'm 36 years old. I've only been skiing one time in my entire life. He goes, I don't want to go to ski school. And I said, what the F are you talking about? And then I realized, I'm like, I'm talking to a 5-year-old. You can't do that. You know? Yeah, and I wasn't even upset. I was literally just so perplexed. And, you know, it came out of nowhere. You know, it's September. There's no snow in the ground. There's no talking skiing. We always okay. And then, you know, I had to say to him later on, you know, Daddy said the wrong thing. I'm really sorry. And that's some place where I fail. And, you know, when I think about that, I have to think about that a lot. You know, what am I teaching my son? I'm doing the wrong thing. But then every kind of failure or misstep is a chance to make the right move. And so anyways, that's something that episode has lingered a lot in my head over the past several months.
Yeah, no. And it was interesting. It's interesting to, you know, sometimes we put ourselves, even in education, you know, as my experience in education, we put ourselves in a position where it's like, well, if we make a mistake, we got to save face and just kind of cover it up rather than just face it and go, you know what, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And yeah. 99% of the time, they're more receptive when you apologize. You know, I made a mistake. Yeah. I'm sorry. And we move on and they move on. And it's much more, I don't know. It's just better resolution at the end of the day when that happens.
Definitely.
When that happens. Yeah, even in sales. Sorry. I work in sales, and we screw something up for the client, and rather than, you know, using some, cover it up, do this and that. It's like, there's no point in covering it up. Just say, because covering up leads to more mistakes and more issues and more things. Just say, you know, yep, we screwed it up, I'm sorry, and here's, like, a lot of free things that we can give you to make up for it. But, you know, I think the fact that you just admit that you're wrong sometimes goes a long way.
Right. Right,
I think so. Instead of just like trying to cover it up, and I think that works like in a lot of facets, not only just, you know, like in sales or, you know, teaching, but definitely in parenting. Like when you screw up, a lot of people that like don't have kids, they view everything as like you're building the foundation of a tripod, and every time you screw up, you're knocking the tripod down. It's not a tripod. It's like a big
erector set.
Yeah, like a erector set where you can literally take all the shit off of the bottom you want, as long as you have the one, it still stays up. It's not that detrimental. I mean, yeah, nobody wants to swear at their kids. I accidentally swear at them all the time. Like, God damn it. Why did you hit your brother in the face with the wooden sword, man? That's not... You knew it was hard. You knew it was going to hurt, right? Yeah, I did. And you did it anyway. Well, what the hell?
Yeah.
His head is bleeding. we have to go to the hospital now.
Well, oh, yeah. When it results in a hospital trip.
That might warrant a what the hell.
Yeah, when it warrants a hospital trip because they hit each other with a sword, I might might let that one slip too. You know, you might be forgiven on that one. So, Mike, the guy that can't sit still and his microphone is really, really loud to the audience, so everybody knows it's not Matt, it's not Eric. But, Mike, what about you? Is there something that you remember from doing the Dad Experience as a host, or just something that you've listened to that you grabbed some advice from? What about you?
I think really the one episode that really stands out in my mind is the one that we did with your friend Joe. About how he and his wife and his, I think it's his son?
Daughter.
Mm-hmm. Their kid, they live in, what, Chicago?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But they live far away from any support network.
Right.
And it really struck home that Jamie and I are very lucky that we have such willing parents and family like that live like within a half hour of us. So we don't have to like really struggle to find, you know, a sitter or to get like a weekend off from the boys. They're always willing to take those kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like
no.
If we said, hey, you know, we can't take these, you know, we need you to take these boys for the week, like right now in the middle of the week at 8:30 o'clock, they'd be yes. I'll tell you. Yeah. What do you need? Let's do it. Yeah. Bring them over.
Right. No, well, and
they'd come down here.
It makes you think
doing that alone is that we couldn't do it.
Right. Yeah. It makes you think about how much you know, we think we're busy as parents, which we are. I'm not saying we aren't. None of us aren't. But you think you're busy, but then could you imagine having nothing, like no support system? You have no one. I mean, they're hundreds of miles away from somebody.
Yeah. Couldn't do it.
Yeah. No, it's crazy to me. Like, I can't imagine, like, I know I'm busy. I know I don't get to do a lot. But I can't even, and they don't get to do even more because, I mean, you can't go out to a movie, you know, once a month because you have no one unless someone's driving to Chicago for them from Detroit. So,
do you pay a sitter that you don't know?
Right.
You check out on the internet and you're like, well, I guess this website said they're okay. How the fuck does anybody know if you're okay?
Right.
Unless it's like a legit, like, security check.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, the teachers and you know.
Yeah, a background check, federal background check.
Yeah, legit police background check, man. Come on.
No, yeah, and all those things. Those are some good memories. I mean, those are really things that definitely for me have stood out as well. So, I think for me,
what
you're gonna ask me for me? Yeah, I think for me, I think
I was gonna ask you. Yeah.
For me, you know, I look at it and I step back because. Boy, it's 100, and some of them I remember. I mean, they're all memorable. But when you do, when you get 100 episodes, and I've done every single one but one. I think you and Mike did one, Eric, without me one time. But I think you guys did one. But I've done all of them. So you know, sometimes it's hard to remember back that many. But I think looking back, and I'm gonna cop out a little bit on this one, guys. But I step back. I think for me, the best thing that has come from the Dad Experience for me is kind of what my mission was when I set out to do this was it doesn't matter how many people are listening, which we've had following. I appreciate everybody that follows. We have a huge following, you know, from where I started. And I'm so appreciative of that. But I think being able to talk to, you know, 100 or so folks, and just learn. I've learned something from every single person that I've talked to, and I think that I'm a better parent because I've listened and learned, and whether or not I utilize it or I always agreed with somebody, it's something that I learned and I took away. I think looking back at the whole thing for me was, and I think what's the most memorable is being able to take something away from every single person I've talked to, whether it's, you know, Howie D from the Backstreet Boys or Sharon Lois and Bram or, you know, My buddy Joe from Chicago, I learned something from everyone. And the reason why I brought you guys, you three guys here, is because you were crucial in that too. I mean, I kept coming back to you guys, and I respect all three of you as parents. And I've seen how successful your families are and how loving your families are and how fun they are. And I think that's kind of what the best thing has been for me, to experience that and getting to see different sides and different walks of life, from different cultures to different just different cultures, different views, different partners, all those things. It's been really neat to see what parenting is in all its different shapes and forms.
Yeah, I think it's comforting to know that we're all on the same fucking boat. I mean, we're all in different areas of that boat, but we're still all on the same freaking crazy parent boat. Yeah. Where, you know, sometimes you get like that free bar pass, and then you're up gallivanting around. But most of the time, you know, we're just hard at work. Sometimes you got to slug more shit than you want to, but you still get in there elbows deep, you know.
Right.
And it's, I think, doing the show, I get to see somebody else's perspective and their thoughts and feelings towards parenting. And a lot of times it's different, but it's not so different. Yeah. It's just another, a book in a different, or a different chapter in the same book, you know?
Right. Right.
And I just think it's comforting knowing that even though, you know, Joe's out there doing his thing in Chicago, it's still similar to what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And that's nice. I like that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this is a great place for us to take a short break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can catch us on their app, which you can get at the Google Play Store and the iTunes Store. Check that out. And stick around at the end of the episode. You're going to hear about another great podcast from Parents On Demand that, if you love the Dad Experience, we're sure you're going to like. So more with our 100th episode here. We've got Eric, Mike, the Noisy Mike, and Matt. We're gonna talk a little bit more coming back about things we can't wait to see through our children's eyes. So I'm gonna kind of see where they're all at with those. So stick around after the break. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. Sorry for the front half of the show. I'm already gonna apologize right off the bat to the listeners. Mike finally figured out how to use mute on his microphone, so we won't have any of that crazy noise. So thank you for bearing with that at the beginning of this episode. But we're back. And what I want to talk to the guys about this time is, this segment has kind of evolved over time. I think when Matt and I started, it was three things we can't wait to see through our children's eyes, and it was kind of more geared towards movies and things like that. And it kind of evolved in my mind to things we can't wait to experience or share with our children and kind of relive our childhood again. So sometimes it's a movie, sometimes it's a trip, sometimes it's just a life event or a life experience. So I kind of want to talk to the other three guys and ask them where they're kind of stand, if it's kind of changed or if any of those things have been experienced through their eyes that we talked about way back when. So let's switch it up a little bit. Let's go, Mike. What about you? Is there anything that you can't wait to share or experience through your children's eyes? Has that changed? Have you witnessed anything yet since we've talked last?
You know what? I think it's the thing I'm most interested in is their evolution of their self, the development of the self, like discovering, hey, you know, I like doing this or I like doing that, or you know, Susie Q at school is my girlfriend. I'm like, okay, if you have a girlfriend, that's fine. Let's keep it respectful. So I think one of the things that I'm looking forward to is seeing them develop, you know, emotionally. Like I'm kind of, you know, I'm a pretty emotional guy, but I'd like to see them like discover, hey, you know what? Susie Q over there, I like her. I like her a lot. You know, maybe not in elementary school. Let's hold that shit off until you're in high school or college. But the development of
the person,
interest in other people. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. like, hey, I like this girl, or, you know, whatever.
Right.
So I'm interested in seeing that. You know, I don't really want to experience the heartache. That's going to hurt, but that comes with the territory, you know?
Right, right.
So
no, that has changed for you over time. It's which is interesting. Matt, what about you? Is yours changed, or have you experienced what you were looking forward to experience with your children yet?
You know, I used to be very excited to share things from my childhood, but then I quickly realized I just got disappointed. because you have to acknowledge, like, not all things are the same. One, they're girls. I was a boy. And some things I related to, they don't care about. Like, I've shown movies, and they just like, this is dumb. Partially because of technology and this and
right.
that. But all the characters are a young white boy. So, of course, I identified with them as a young kid. But they're like, I don't care about this kid. He's not me. and also, like, my childhood. You know, I grew up in the American suburbs with, you know, not much diversity. I had meatloaf and mashed potatoes, like, twice a week. And that's not my kid's life. And so once I let that go and opened up and just to see them develop themselves, like Mike was saying, has been big. But the one, like, specific thing, when we go back to Tokyo to visit my in-laws, we went to Tokyo Disneyland. And so for them to be at Disneyland, I got to experience it through their eyes, which was really, really cool. We were there for a day, so it wasn't the whole, like, oh, crap, we just blew a ton of money on this whole trip and it's Florida heat or anything. So that was cool.
That is cool. And to be somewhere, I would assume, within their culture too, is probably neat too. Kind of like you were saying, as you grew up with your movies that they can't relate to. Maybe that was that a different experience for them? You think that was better, or being within that culture, and it was just going to Disney, Tokyo Disney?
Well, you know, they hear that they're Japanese, but once they go to Japan, it really clicks for them, and they get really excited, and they want to just absorb it all, and they realize, like, oh, yeah, I'm Japanese, too. It's not just the kids at school who are really from Japan. Like, they are, too. So that's really cool to see them really embrace that side of their heritage.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. That's really cool to experience. And for you to get to be witness of that is probably really neat to see, too, I would imagine.
Right. And my biggest fear with that is, like, right now we're in this school that's half Japanese, half English, and it's like this protected bubble. Mm-hmm. And once we go to the regular public school in middle school, I'm worried that this half that they're very proud of, all of a sudden they're not going to be proud of that as much, or they're going to squash it a little bit more so they fit in. Who knows if that'll happen, but that's my fear with that.
It's a valid fear. It's a valid fear.
Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. you hear stories of that, of kids when they're younger squashing in it, but I think what happens at a certain point in their life, even if it does due to peer pressure or trying to fit in, whatever it may be, I think is, you know, you set the base right now. You did the groundwork early on for their age. And I think at a certain point, as people get older, people long to know who they are, where they come from. I mean, that's partially why 23andMe has gotten so big, right? Or all those kind of tools. And so I think because you've set the base, at some point, even if they do leave it, they'll go back to it. And I just had this conversation with someone the other day, and with a coworker of mine who, you know, her family is from Kerala, India, and, you know, she was raised going, you know, doing dances and learning about Hindu and Hinduism, and her brother was never into it. But she was into it for a long period of time, went to middle school, high school, kind of fell off, and then got back to college and was like, wait, I love that about myself, and I want to know more, and I want to explore that. And now, from college into her 20s, that's become a key part of her life, and that's because her parents had the base. So, you know, no matter what kind of messed up stuff happens in junior high school and high school, regardless of, you know, their heritage, whatever it may be, I think we'll come back to it in the long run.
I agree.
That's what we're hoping for, and especially right now with the language, fourth grade has been substantially harder than third grade. So that interest level has dropped too, just because it's challenging. But we're in, now we're trying to like push, but not push too hard to where they'll reject it completely. Right. And
that's a really slippery slope. That's tough. I can imagine. But you know, you and your wife, knowing both you guys, you both embrace it and you both, learn and want to learn about the culture, and share that with your kids. I'd be surprised. I mean, if I was a betting person, I would be surprised if they didn't embrace it. Just by seeing what you do and what your wife does and all the different things you do for them to make sure that's such an important part of their life.
That's our hope.
Eric, man, what about you? Has anything resonated or changed with you, or have you experienced what you've set out when we talked last?
Yeah, I mean, I think I know I talked a lot about probably movies and taking some of my kids.
But that's you. What you like.
It's what I love. And, you know, this year I played Ghostbusters with my son, Miles. And, you know, my daughter wound up, you know, was a two at the time. She wound up watching also, and they really loved it. But he particularly loved it. And it was fun to see a little bit of his sense of humor developed from that, and that was awesome. I think what's really been cool recently is so he started kindergarten, and we moved back to the Bronx. We were living in Manhattan for over a decade, and we moved back to the Bronx a couple of years ago, partially to send him to one of the public schools here, which is really good. And he's now in kindergarten. He's in the same kindergarten class classroom that I was in kindergarten in, and so that's been the most that's been. So it was one thing to move back to the old neighborhood and see him play in the playground and do Little League. It's one thing for him to even go to the same school as me, but to be in the same classroom and be in there those first 2 days when they're transitioning and looking around and I'm like having flashbacks myself of memories from
having micro panic attacks.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you know what? If we were
this is where I got my ass beat.
Oh no! You know, it was kindergarten. I had that, but I had such weird stories. I have to save it for another episode because they're so long. But they must have been repressed memories because they all came back to me that first day. I was like, oh my god! I was like weird memories of being in the bathroom and like it sounds weirder than it is, but like with other kids and playing. And it's been now cool. Just to, it was one weird, but it's also really cool now. I'm like seeing his kindergarten experience in the same classroom. And that's been really fun to watch happen. And it's only been a month, but I'm really excited to see where that goes.
Yeah.
No, awesome and weird.
That's the same thing
whenever I go into a pool. It's awful. Yeah.
I kind of feel
that chlorine smell.
Ugh. Yeah. Smells. I kind of feel like each level of parenting like unlocks a series of memories for me.
Video game like parenting theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, now that she's in fourth grade, all these like fourth grade memories I had are coming flooding back.
Right. No, those are all great things, guys. Those are all great things.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, I think I'm going to go against the grain again a little bit. And this one's not a cop out. I think it's just going to be, against all of my will to say this, but I am looking forward to it, but I don't want to wish it too soon, just to kind of preface this one. I can't wait to see my girls become adults, and hopefully someday they'll be able to and want to have children and kind of experience it. I don't want it tomorrow. I want it to be as long as possible. I want to be, in my mind, 30. I'm going to live forever. So, we've got an infinite amount of time, which is, obviously not true, but that's something I look forward to. And like I said, I know Mike here, our listeners can't see, but I can see he's shaking his head no. And part of me is like, no, they're young. I love this age. I love how adorable they are, even though they drive me nuts sometimes. And, I love every minute of it, but I can't wait. And it's kind of along the same lines as what Mike, you said, and Matt, what you said, embracing the culture. It's just getting to see all that work that we did for them, because we're raising them to leave. I mean, we are.
I want to keep them till they're 18, then GTFO.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not looking forward to that because I love my kids and, they're still young. So maybe that I don't think that will ever change. But I can't wait to see the dividend payoff and then be able to get their kids someday, hopefully, if they decide to have kids and if they want to have kids. And I get to spoil them and do everything that I wasn't going to do with my kids to their kids that now my parents do or my in-laws do. So I don't want to wish my life away. That's not what I want, because I think about every day. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like the milestone of my life I've been waiting for, is to have children, have a family, and have a place that it's providing for my family, and I can do things and live a comfortable life. And it's like, what's next? I'm talking about retirement. I mean, so it's weird, but and I don't want it to get here that fast, but on the same token, I do want to see them grow and continue to grow and become, you know, fine young adults someday, hopefully, and see all that and experience all that. So that's kind of where I'm at, the thing that I can't wait to kind of see and watch as we go, which I think we kind of all are almost on a similar, you know, page there. It's kind of, it's changed. And it's interesting how that question has changed and evolved as I've talked to more parents and seen it change through the episodes. And if you go back, if listeners go back to the first couple, it's always been like movies or going to Disney World or going to, you know, ski with them or camp for the first time. And then it just,
but not ski camp.
Not ski camp.
Or ski, not ski, or camp. Ski class or whatever.
Not ski class. Ski camp. Not ski class. September in New York.
No, don't take me to ski school! You've never even gone down the slopes. We're not going to ski school, for God's sake.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate you being here. Matt, where can people find you, and how can they find your work if you want to share it with the folks?
I have a blog called The Domestic Specialist at thedomesticspecialist.com, and also Instagram, Facebook, The Domestic Specialist.
Awesome. Mr. Mike Morrison, do you have anything you're sharing, or are you just being you?
No, share?
No, like anywhere what? They can find you online or any presence online.
You can find me right here whenever you can light a fire under my ass to get on the show.
There you go. You can find Mike at the Dad Experience at some point in time in the near future, maybe when he's done with his education there.
Or when he's not on the streets.
Or he's not on the street begging for money. Or trying to find a microphone that works. Right here?
That's my advice. When you finally make enough money, you got to go to the Apple store. You got to get a mic, okay? Some wireless headphones. And that's what you're going to buy. And then you can come back on, all right?
Eric, what about...
Take your Bush League shit and get the fuck out.
All right, Eric, what about you? What about you?
You can find me on Instagram at Eric Reggie. I haven't been as active this year because I've been very, very deep into post-production on a movie, but every now and then I share stories of the family, and they're weird and wild.
What about your movie? I know it's you're nearing completion of it and going to start doing some things with it, but is there a way that folks can follow along with what you're doing, or maybe when there's a trailer up or all those good things?
Or watch it on Sundance or something?
I'll probably post stuff on Instagram, but if you ever want to check out anything about the movie, you can go to inactionmovie.com.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. And you can always find the Dad Experience at thedadexperiencepodcast.com. Email us experienceanddad@gmail.com if you have a show idea or want to be a guest on the show. And you can find us on most the popular social media. We are not present on TikTok yet, because I don't know how that works, and I'm old, but that's all right. But you can find us just by searching The Dad Experience. And I want to say again, guys, thank you. Thank you for you three are a huge part of the success of the show and the reason why I kept going. You've motivated me to keep going. Some of you bailed me out when I said, oh my gosh, I need an episode this week. Can we do something quick for 20 minutes? It's been great to do that, and it's been awesome, and hopefully we can do this again in another 100. Maybe another 50. So
that'd be cool.
All right, guys. Good. Well, right, I appreciate
you guys at 150.
Yeah, right. 150. We'll do it again. Well, thanks again, and thanks for joining us on The Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes.